Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here tonight on Thursday. And we do have a big night ahead of us because, of course, we don't just have America First this evening, but we also have a large and a very important engagement in the Groiper War taking place sometime during the show, actually. You may know we've been promoting this event, I think, throughout this week and a little bit last week, but Ben Shapiro is going to be at Stanford University tonight at 9 p.m. Central Time, so that is in 1.5 hours. So it's a big show tonight. There's going to be a lot to talk about, but we also are looking forward to one of our bigger engagements, one of our first real challenges in the Groiper War, and we'll have to stay tuned for that. I think the game plan for us here on the show is that we should probably wrap it up and get done around 10 o'clock Central Time, which is what we've been doing for the past 2 weeks, is these 2.5, 3-hour shows, whatever. I anticipate that the Ben Shapiro event should go until 10 o'clock, and that's when they'll take their questions. Now, we'll play it by ear. We'll see how it's going. Probably by 10 o'clock, we'll have already entered the Super Chats, probably by 9:30. Certainly by 9:30, we'll be well within the Super Chats. So if people want to tell me, we can play it by ear, and we'll see if the Ben Shapiro Q&A starts right away. If it starts at like 9:30 or 9:45, we'll have to cut the show short and jump over, but I think it's probably a good tentative plan because, of course, they don't set out an itinerary beforehand. That we do the show until 10 o'clock. I think that's probably how long the show would go anyway. And then if he's taking the Q&A, we'll transfer over. If it happens earlier, we'll make the transition earlier. We'll have to cut the show a little bit short. So that's our plan. That's my game plan for tonight because, of course, it is very important to see how it's going. But for tonight's show, we are talking a little bit more about Turning Point USA. So the event tonight is Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is touring with YAF, which is Young Americans. What is it? I still don't even know. I have to settle this once and for all. YAF is Young America's Foundation. Young America's Foundation. I didn't even know that. I thought it was either Young Americans, as in Young Americans Foundation, or was Young Americans for Freedom. I guess it's Young America's Foundation. So he's touring with them. But the show is actually about Young America's Foundation that released a memo about Turning Point USA. So really, the show's more about Turning Point USA. And I just found this this week. It was sent to me by a number of people who are insiders at Turning Point USA. Some people who are involved in other organizations sent this to me. I had never heard of this. I was not aware of it. And I'm sure probably that most people watching the show are unaware of this as well. Unless you're an insider, unless you work for Turning Point, unless you're highly involved in the campus conservative scene, I'm going to venture to guess that probably you haven't read what's in this memo. And that's going to be the featured story for tonight, is this memo that came out. It actually came out last year. It came out on May 25th, 2018. And the memo, as I said, was written up by some of the leadership at the Young Americas Foundation, which is a competing conservative campus organization. And it lays out some very interesting things about Turning Point USA. And as I've been saying for the past couple of weeks, it really is fascinating how you start to look at a person like Charlie Kirk, you start to look at Dan Crenshaw, people that we have obvious ideological problems with. You know, I look at Charlie Kirk and my first and my initial gripe, my original gripe, so to speak, with Charlie Kirk, is that he's not very conservative, that he is in support of mass legal immigration, he's in support of gay marriage, he attacked the Covington kids with Ben Shapiro and all the others, and of course, he is loyal to Israel. You know, every Instagram story, every Twitter post, every Instagram post is talking about how great Israel is and how beautiful Israel is. And so initially, that was my problem, but and I'll tell you, this has been a journey of discovery for me, and I bet probably a lot of people watching this as well, a lot of people currently in Turning Point USA, it's very fascinating how you start with somebody like this who's promoting very bad policies, and the more you look into them, the more you find out that they're actually bad people. The more you find out that they're running a bad organization that is crooked, at the very least unethical, at most they're breaking the law. And so this memo details a lot of things that have nothing to do with ideology, which I think we've been covering all week, this week and last week and a little bit the week before. But this covers more of the business practices of Turning Point USA. So I hope that this show might be a useful resource to some of the people that are on the campus conservative scene, because You know, for the past 3 weeks, my message has not been, you must agree with us. My message has not been, we're taking over the American right. The message has been this. Primarily, no matter if you agree with us or disagree with us, whatever it is, you have to acknowledge that there is some hypocrisy going on. You have to acknowledge that Charlie Kirk, when he says he's going to take any questions from anybody, that he'll engage in a free marketplace of ideas. And by the way, they all do this. Dave Rubin, Ben Shapiro, Steven Crowder. They say that we're on an equal playing field and we're all competing in this marketplace of ideas, trying to find the best conservatism. But then they shut out people like me. That's really how it all began. It began with the questions where Charlie Kirk dismissed them at Colorado. I keep forgetting which university. You know, one of the schools in Colorado. And it was also at Politicon when I tried to get a picture with Charlie Kirk and I was hauled away by police. I tried to attend his debate and I got hauled away by a dozen police officers, security guards, and the different advisors, the different supervisors at the Politicon conference. You know, so again, if we return to the original crusade here, it was not even necessarily you have to agree with everything we say. Because admittedly, our faction is small. It is growing very rapidly. I think probably most people deep down believe with us. But there are other factions. The message has been, however, that no matter what faction you're with, you have to acknowledge there is a hypocrisy. People are being shut out. The conversation is being controlled. And I hope that if you watch a show like this, or if you see the things that are going on the college campuses, at the bare minimum, even students that subscribe to the free market, limited government, libertarian, conservative ideology, which I'm not a fan of, at the bare minimum, people like that can watch this or see what's happening and they can acknowledge that what Charlie Kirk is doing is wrong, it's hypocritical, it's unethical, and some of these activities are just straight up illegal and they should want nothing to do with them. And then maybe we can win them over, right? Then maybe we can win them over ideologically. But the message is the conversation must happen. The battle must happen between America First conservatives and establishment conservatives. And Charlie Kirk is standing in the way. And that's why we have to expose who he is, what he's about, and really understand where Charlie Kirk comes from. So we're going to go over this memo, which, as I said, details some of these bad business practices. I'm not going to read through the whole memo, because a lot of it is just sort of like petty stuff. There's also a big section in the memo where YAF themselves, understand YAF is not our friend, but in this circumstance, they're helping us reveal what's happening in Turning Point USA. There's one segment in this memo where YAF dedicates like 3 or 4 paragraphs talking about how Turning Point USA had members that went to Charlottesville and they had members that were racists. And so maybe this indicates how they're really kind of all in on the same grift, which is not even really being in favor of free speech or not really being conservative. But for our purposes, we'll look at some of the other complaints that YAF has, which we can all agree are unethical. So we'll dive into that. That'll be our featured story, but we'll also be talking about some other things. Of course, we'll go over the schedule. Once again, we got to keep hitting the schedule. I'll go over some other notes about tonight's event and tomorrow's event, which is Dan Crenshaw, who is at ASU with Turning Point. He's there for their Culture War campus tour. So we'll do a little bit of the introductory stuff. We'll talk a little bit actually about the news today as well, and then we'll talk about this memo. I'll break it down for you, what YAF has to say about Turning Point USA. So we're going to jump in. I do just want to remind everybody of the schedule. That's the first order of business always. Remember, the lifeblood of the Groyper War, which I have no fear is going to, the energy is going to subside anytime soon. But the lifeblood, what's keeping this going, is that people are going out to the college campuses in person. Obviously, they're representing and they're challenging these speakers. The questions are the lifeblood of the movement, right? And I think everybody understands that. People are excited. They know the dates already, I'm sure. They know the colleges that are close to them where they can go and do their part. But I'll read it out to you very briefly again, just in case anybody needs a refresher. Of course, tonight, Ben Shapiro will be speaking at Stanford University, which the tickets are all sold out for that. So, if you're not there already, you're probably out of luck. Tomorrow, you've got Dan Crenshaw at Arizona State University. On Sunday, you've got Charlie Kirk and Donald Trump Jr., the president's son, at UCLA. On Tuesday, the 12th, you've got Charlie Kirk at University of Florida. And then on Wednesday, the 13th, you've got Charlie Kirk at North Carolina State, and he will be with Lara Trump. Lara, I think that's how you pronounce it, who is the daughter of the president. So we've got a YAF event tonight with Shapiro, and then the 4 events that are coming up in the next week are Turning Point events. Crenshaw tomorrow, Kirk and Don Jr. on Sunday, Kirk at University of Florida on Tuesday, and Kirk at North Carolina State with Laura on Wednesday. Those are all Turning Point events. And this is what I wanted to get into in this introductory part. I wanted to really explore, just for a brief moment, the difference between YAF and Turning Point USA, because this is really critical. The only remaining Turning Point events are the ones that I just named. So the Culture War Campus Tour, as far as I know, unless they add any more dates in the coming weeks, maybe they add a few in the closing weeks of November, the opening weeks of December. As far as I know, as far as we are aware, the Culture War Tour ends on Wednesday at North Carolina State University. And the reason why this is important is because you'll have a lot more events after that. You've got events throughout next week, throughout the week after that, and I believe also the week after that, and a couple maybe in December, that are with YAF, which is the Young Americas Foundation. You've got Klavan, Michael Knowles, Shapiro, Matt Walsh. Some girl is involved. I don't recognize who the girl is. Some girl is doing some speeches. And so it's very important to say now that there's a major structural difference in how we approach the two organizations. What I've been trying to stress for the past week or so, since last Friday when they had the Steven Crowder event, and Crowder was our first non-Turning Point USA event, is that these people are not all the same. Now, I've said in the past that they're not all the same, and so that means you need to ask precise questions. Tonight, I want to talk about how they're not same or how they're not the same organizationally. For example, tonight we're going up against Ben Shapiro. Now, I hope that it goes well. I think it probably will go well. I know we're going to get a big turnout at the event tonight, and we'll see how people are experimenting with the new techniques that we've suggested so far. I will say, however, that this is going to be one of our bigger challenges. You know, Ben Shapiro, I don't think he's a super intelligent person. Some people on Telegram were saying, the Groyper generals, Nick Fuentes and so on, are worried over nothing with Ben Shapiro. He's really not that smart. And I agree with that. I don't think Ben Shapiro is a genius. I don't think he's a real towering intellect. You know, if you've read any of his stuff on Daily Wire, if you've seen his show, the guy is middle-brained at best, probably a really average IQ, but maybe can talk quickly, right? Obviously, he's been propped up by billionaires and Hollywood people, so we know why he is where he is. The problem, however, with Ben Shapiro is not so much that he's smart. It's not that he has the right positions or that he's telling the truth. It's that he will engage. And that's the difference. And I said this on Telegram. I said this, I think, on Twitter. The main difference between Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro at this stage with them as personalities, why this one is fundamentally different from previous encounters, is that Charlie Kirk is able to just hand wave away a question or dismiss it, or he thinks that's the way that you handle this. And so we are able to get by with a lot of these drive-by shots, not really needing to go into arguments, not really needing to, entertain a back and forth or something like that. Because Crenshaw and Charlie Kirk are like low IQ, like 95 IQ, and because they are so frazzled by these questions, we've been able to go up to the microphone, throw something out there, you just throw whatever at the wall and see if it sticks. And we can count on them to hand wave it away, dismiss it, come up with some ridiculous obfuscation, smear the person asking. Ben Shapiro will engage with the questioner. And so I'll say this, if it goes wrong tonight, and this is to my broader point because I touched on this a little bit yesterday, if it goes a little bit awry tonight, if there's a plant, if Ben Shapiro, beats one of us in an argument, I don't think the most important thing for tonight is to defeat Ben Shapiro in an argument. I think it's sufficient almost simply to ask the questions. But the reason I say that is because Ben Shapiro is a media guy. Charlie Kirk is an activist. And so it's a big difference. What YAF represents and what Ben Shapiro and the Daily Wire crew represent is structurally and organizationally different from Charlie Kirk, Dan Crenshaw, and Turning Point USA. And the reason I say this is because Ben Shapiro might have to field some questions, and he might engage in a debate. At the end of the day, this might even help him, because this will allow him to put content on his website. This will have people talking about his event and the trolls that showed up and whatever, right? But there's no danger of some kind of mutiny at Daily Wire. The people that are at Daily Wire are employees. There are people that are ideologically with Ben Shapiro, probably personally loyal to him. Whereas with Turning Point USA, it's obviously different. Turning Point USA is not a media company. They have chapters spread out all over the country. I think there's something like 400 chapters. They're also working with the Trump campaign. So they are in a much more delicate and fragile and spread out, vulnerable position where if we ask these questions, if we inject some of these ideas into the discourse, there is a real risk that at an organizational level, we will cause problems for Charlie Kirk. He has to worry about donors. He has to worry about fundraising. He has to worry about the different people that are running the chapters in the organization, the activists that are inside the college campuses. So it's a fundamentally different equation. Attacking Charlie Kirk really brings the pain for him. I mean, that really is something that he's panicked about. That's something they are rightfully nervous about because this brings real tangible consequences for his career and what he's trying to do and what Turning Point USA was set up to do. Daily Wire, on the other hand, if we go there, even if we beat this guy in an argument, if he beats us, no matter how it goes, he goes back to Los Angeles and he does the Ben Shapiro show. And the boomers that listen to the Ben Shapiro show tune into the Ben Shapiro show. Maybe in a certain sense, and I'm not saying, that's not to say that it's not important to go after Ben Shapiro. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that when we're looking at the Ben Shapiro event, or we're looking at Matt Walsh or Michael Knowles or any of these people that are a part of YAF, the objective is different, and as a result, the stakes are lower. I think it's much better to look at the event tonight as practice. You know, I've compared us to, and maybe this is not a great comparison, because we're not violent. It's ideological, it's rhetorical, but it is analogous to a cartel, you know, some kind of a non-state actor, something like that. I really view the Ben Shapiro thing as sort of one of these conflicts where it's a training ground for us. This is where we send our Groiper fighters. This is where we send our Groiper freedom fighters, and they're able to train on the battlefield of ideas so that they are prepared then to take on the much bigger and more important and strategic targets, which are Turning Point USA. And that is a short-term objective. Of course, in the long run, we know Daily Wire represents in maybe perhaps a more pernicious strain of fake conservatism, right? Because he is somewhat okay on social issues, but yet he pushes, this idea that government should intervene and things like that. So I'm not saying the Daily Wire is not an enemy. I'm not saying that they're not a long-term threat or something like that. But for the purpose of this operation, this tactic of showing up and asking the questions, it does a lot of damage to Turning Point USA because they're a college organization. It really doesn't affect the score with Daily Wire, at least in the short and the medium term. And so I think when we look at the event tonight, when we look at some of the events in the coming weeks, it's something that'll be fun. It's something to watch. It's something that I think we should get out there, and it's good practice, and we can kind of test out different tactics and strategies and whatever. But, you know, for example, tonight, if it doesn't go very well, I don't think it's that big of a deal. If it goes really well, I mean, we should make a big deal out of it. But, you know, like, for example, the Matt Walsh thing a couple of days ago. Matt Walsh was somebody who engaged. I think we got great questions in. We had a great presence. And that kept the Groiper energy up. But I don't think anybody at Daily Wire was freaking out because, you know, Matt Walsh got asked questions. So it's a very important, it's an important strategic and pragmatic distinction to make between the two groups to really drive home, again, the question that we always have to be asking ourselves, which is, you know, why are we doing this? And I think that's the biggest difference between maybe failed movements of 2 or 3 years ago, maybe you know what I'm getting at, and this movement today. We are thinking both in terms of principle, in terms of our ideology, but we are also thinking completely practically. And what I love so much about what's going on with the Groiper War is that it's not just me, it's like all the influencers and also all of you are thinking to yourselves, what are good questions? What are we trying to achieve with this? You're thinking in terms of, I don't want to say 4D chess, but you're thinking in terms of strategies, you're thinking in terms of persuasion, in terms of optics, and of course that is essential, that is as essential, it is a requirement that a political movement is thinking not purely in terms of what their beliefs are, what their policies are, what their rhetoric is, but also in terms of what the practical angle is, also in terms of the strategy. So that's your little Groiper, that's your Groiper memo tonight from General Nick Fuentes of America First. Just to keep that in mind when you're approaching Shapiro tonight and Crenshaw tomorrow. Crenshaw tomorrow is at Turning Point USA. That's the event that he's doing at ASU. Kirk is going to be on Sunday at a Turning Point event. Tuesday and Wednesday are Turning Point events. And those are the real deal. Shapiro's going to be a big one tonight for maybe more symbolic reasons, but tomorrow, Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that's like our World Series. That's like our playoffs. If I could give you a sports analogy, that's like our playoffs, Groiper War playoffs. So you know, maybe we've been figuring it out this week with some of these Dan Crenshaw YAF events, the Ben Shapiro and Walsh YAF events, but for the Turning Point events with Crenshaw tomorrow, with Kirk on Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that's when we have to have it on lock. So tonight, more than anything, I'm looking at this event as sort of getting ideas, figuring out what we need to do to improve for the coming week. But I think you guys get the picture on that. Some additional notes, just another reminder, if you're in line for Stanford University tonight for the Ben Shapiro event, and I know probably there are people standing in line, maybe watching this on their phone or getting ready to go, or if you're planning on attending ASU tomorrow or UCLA on Sunday, just want to reiterate or remind people. I know for some people that have been watching every night, it's a bit repetitive, but we really are trying to push this message hard so we get some degree of cohesion and coordination here. That if you're planning on attending any of these events either tonight or over this weekend, you're going to want to remember it's pretty simple what the expectation is, what our tactic is. In the first place, film everything. One of the biggest problems that we've seen with the past events over the last week in particular, since the Crowder event last Friday, is that not all of these things are being streamed. Now, so far, all the Turning Point events have had an official high-quality stream. So I don't expect that they're not going to have one for ASU or for Sunday or for Tuesday and Wednesday, but we should come prepared anyway. And of course, it's almost as if it didn't happen if we don't get it on camera, you know? So I heard from an event on Monday that Dan Crenshaw like name dropped me, and I don't believe we ever got video of that. I think we got video of the second night he name dropped me, but one of the first nights where Dan Crenshaw said the name and he named me and he named the movement, it wasn't on camera, and therefore it might as well not have happened, you know, because then it's our word against theirs, right? So number one is to film everything. Not simply film the event, but also film a lot of the interactions. Just have your camera out. You know, these are little logistical things, but that's what makes or breaks a movement, is the logistical details. Charge your phone. I know that might sound like a little thing, but it's a big deal. If you're going to go to one of these things, if you're planning on asking a question, even if you're just attending, make sure your phone is charged. If you can, bring a portable charger. I don't know how that might go on Sunday because Don Jr. will be at the event, and I think they said it's like airport security because Don Jr. is the president's son. So you might run into some complications with security at one of the events where the president's family is involved. But if you're going to go to one of the others, charge the phone, bring a portable charger if possible. That might sound like a simple thing, but it's very big. That could be the difference between getting a bunch of different angles, a bunch of different high quality shots, or none at all. You know, you don't want to be the guy that says, oh, I was about to make American history. I was about to document a pivotal moment in the right wing, but my phone's at 2% because I was Snapchatting e-girls all day. You can't have it like that. So you got to film everything. Number two, the other problem that we're running into is not simply that they're not filming it, but our groypers are having trouble getting to the microphone. They have no trouble getting in line, lining up first, lining up back to back, getting there, whatever. But we are finding out that people are putting plants into the line. They're planting in their own members or left-wing people, or they're simply moving people that they profile as possibly disruptive to the back of the line. Now, we anticipate that that's going to happen. There's really not a whole lot that we can do about that, in the sense that, you know, some people are saying we should show up in disguises, which I endorse. If you show up as a left-wing person, or if you wear a Turning Point shirt, or, you know, a generic sort of conservative shirt. If you have an old Ben Shapiro shirt from 2015, I've been hearing some people say they might do disguises. They might, you know, try to dress like a regular college kid. Really, it's just sort of a toss-up whether you get moved to the back or not. We don't know what they're expecting, how they're profiling. All of that said, what we can do is line up first. And if they choose to remove us, and this kind of goes along with the first point, you got to film if they're removing you, and you got to make a big scene. I've been saying this all week, so I'm going to keep it short. But if they try to remove you, don't budge. Because this is how it's going to happen. You're going to have one of these dainty little Turning Point girls or one of these totally cucked homo Turning Point microphone jockeys. And they're going to be holding the microphone. And they're going to be sort of going up and down the line trying to organize and usher everybody around. And you're going to get one of these soy face. You're going to get one of these cringe lords in your face saying, we're really sorry, but we're going to have to ask you to move to the back of the line. That's, I believe that is how the approach looks. I experienced that at Politicon. That seems to be how it works. You know, one of the student volunteers will approach you and say, can we please just move you to the back of the line? We're going to have to ask you to move to the back. Say no. They have no authority over you. We are groypers. We listen to no one. We certainly don't listen to cringe lord Turning Point microphone jockeys. Now, that said, be nice to them. Be polite to them. We're trying to convert them, but you don't have to listen to them. You know, who are they? We're big groypers. Do you know what groypers do to people? I don't think I need to say it explicitly, but groypers are pretty, they're pretty aggressive, right? So some Turning Point guy gets in your face. You don't have to listen to that. Just say respectfully, no, I'm not going to move. I'm here in line and I'm going to ask my question. If they insist on throwing you out, make them get security and make security drag you out. Film it. And while you're on your way out, make noise about it. Point, yell, scream slogans, scream America first, not Israel first. Scream, you know, Google the Liberty, Google, you know, whatever. Things like this. Maybe something about gamers, something about groypers, but you want to make a big scene. If a Turning Point kid touches you, you make a big deal out of it. They're touching me. Quit grabbing me. Get your hands off me. Want to make a big of a commotion as possible if they're not going to play by their own rules, which is free speech, free discourse, and all the rest. So number one, record everything. Number two, if they try to remove you from the line, don't let them. Make them get police drag you out. And if police drag you out, don't resist the police. If you don't resist the police, you won't get in any trouble, I promise. Only if you resist the police might there be an issue. But I'm not advising anybody to do that. If the police end up escorting you out, go with them. But yell, make noise, film it, all the rest. And then lastly, support our guys. If you're there and you're not asking a question, or you're not, you know, in the front lines, maybe you're in the back of the line or something like that. Front lines or back of the lines, yeah, that works. But if, in other words, if you're not asking a question, if you're in the audience, or if you don't think you're going to get to the front of the line, if you don't think you're going to get to the front of the line, then you want to cheer when they say, when our questioners ask questions, and you want to boo the people on the stage when they're cringe. If they're talking about Israel, if they're talking about anal sex, if they're talking about mass immigration, you want to boo them. And we don't want to make it obnoxious. We're not there to disrupt. You know, I saw at one of the Dan Crenshaw events, somebody was yelling out questions from the rafters. People were yelling out questions from the audience. We don't want that. They do expect some level of audience interaction. And I think that basically begins and ends with applause, booing, and some very light heckling, some very controlled heckling. But if you're going to go there and stand up and start screaming out in the audience, hey, I have a question, blah, blah, blah. We don't want that to happen. It makes you look bad. It makes everyone look bad. So if you're not going to ask a question, when they're being cringe, you boo them. Oh, what, America first, Charlie, something like that. When our guys are asking questions, you cheer, you whistle, America first, Nick Fuentes, something like that. And I think using those three tactics, there's really nothing they can do to stop us. If we engage in those three tactics successfully, and in a controlled fashion, like I said, in a very strategic and optical and sensible fashion, there's nothing they can do to counter that. Because you understand, we give them a catch-22. Either they take the question, and we win if we ask the question, understand. If we get the platform, if we force these guys to make a statement on the record, we get other people asking the question, we win. If they remove us, and we get it on film, and people do this the right way, you know, they make it look like honest questioners are being dragged out by police. Well, we don't want to get handcuffed, but you get the picture. The optics of this is terrible. If they are sending armed police officers to physically remove people for asking questions while they're shouting out, America first, Donald Trump 2020, or something like this, Nick Fuentes. So to me, if we successfully engage in these two tactics, we either get them to ask the questions and the audience is on the side of the questioners, or we get them to look like hypocrites, police are pulling people out, they're getting booed, the audience is in revolt, it makes terrible videos for the next day. So those are the strategies we want to engage in. So I think I've just about covered everything for the events this week. I know it's a bit tedious, it's a bit cumbersome every night to do this little portion, but it's necessary to keep people filled in and updated. You know, one of the disadvantages of being decentralized, and there's no chain of hierarchy and no like private communications or uniforms. In a way, we're sort of like a stateless, without uniforms, sort of an actor, which has its perks, which has its obvious advantages. But the disadvantage is, at Turning Point, they get to coordinate their response privately. Charlie Kirk gets to bring in a team, and he gets to put down the word to all his underlings, this is how we're handling this, and it's in private communications. Meanwhile, everything that we're doing is all public. I'm telling you this, Turning Point people are watching this show, they're watching my Telegram, and they're trying to find ways to anticipate. So, I mean, that is one of the disadvantages of what we're going about. That's why we need to fill everybody in every night, make sure everybody's up to speed, but we're going to dive in here. Like I said, we're going to jump into a little bit of the news before we get into this YAF memo. I do just want to say, because this show is a news show, I will say, if you're new here, if you're new this week or in the last couple of weeks, this is a news show. Normally, it's not every night, Groiper War, tactics, you know, showing you on a giant map in the background, like Charlie Kirk's fortifications and Groipers are going to move in through the mountains, you know. Normally, it's a show about the news and everything. But I'll tell you why I've been sort of keeping away from that and why the focus has been here. And I'll tell you this, I'll relay this to you using the news from today. You know, today, what was the big news that everybody in Conservative Inc. was talking about? That everybody in political Twitter was so interested in? It was, what, Donald Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle on The View? You know, so I would have liked to, maybe in this intermission, in the past couple of days where we haven't had big events, you know, yesterday we did not have an event. The event for tonight has not happened yet. I thought maybe we could talk about the news. But I turn on the news, I go on to Twitter, I check Fox, I check all the major sources, and what's the talk of the town? It's that, well, Donald Trump Jr. went on The View, and he called out Joy Behar because she actually wore blackface, and the liberals were not happy about it. Yeah, Donald Trump Jr. went on The View, and he got into it with Whoopi Goldberg, and wasn't that awesome? And you know, it's like I've been saying before the Groiper War started, everything that you see in the news, for the most part, a lot of this partisan stuff, impeachment's been going on, this Ukraine stuff, The View, all these sort of astroturfed media appearances, it's all fake. It's all political theater. The real news, believe it or not, is happening here. And I don't say that just because I'm directly involved. You know, it might be hard for you to believe, because it would be very convenient if the most important story in the world is the one that I'm directly involved and I'm talking about on my show every night, right? But it is true. Because when we're looking at 2016 and 2020 and how they relate to each other, obviously the next big episode in politics will be the presidential election. And the question is how that relates to the 2016 election, particularly this character arc of Donald Trump. How do we get from 2015 saying Americans have dreams and we want to hire American workers and we want to keep out illegals and maybe cut legal immigration too, and we want to pull out of the wars, and we want to take care of everybody with healthcare and build up our infrastructure and all these big promises. How do we get from that to we're fighting this election? In this election, we're fighting socialism. And in this election, we're running on tax cuts. And we're running on, well, we might need more immigrants because the businesses are asking for them, because unemployment is so low. Because the Koch brothers and, you know, the people that hired the guy that killed Molly Tibbetts in Iowa, they want more cheap labor. They want more foreign labor. I have to pass more visas. I have to get more visas and different, you know, permanent residencies and other things around. You know, so to me, that is the fundamental question of the next episode in politics, the election, and what happened to Donald Trump, particularly as conservatives. This is, in my opinion, the first phase, the first battle in the real sort of unofficial primary of the 2020 election on the right side, which is finally the establishment right with the America First right. The establishment, you could say it's Israel first, you could say it's immigrant first, you could say it's globalist or controlled, whatever you want to say, but I think you know who I'm talking about. You've got the establishment right and the people that have subverted the Trump agenda on this side, and you've got America First on the other. You've got the people that were energized by the Trump campaign, by the promises he made in 2015. You know, we didn't vote for him for the tax cuts, we voted for him for the wall, and for the tariffs, and for the withdrawal from the foreign wars, but most importantly, for the wall and an end to immigration. And so to me, this is almost like a first phase. It's like the opening salvo in the much larger battle that will take place over the next year, which is, what is the future of the GOP? What is the future, maybe even not of the political party as an institution, but of the American right wing as a whole, on social media, in general media, legacy media, and the think tanks, the intelligentsia, the academia? Is the next decade of the 2020s going to be defined by the same suspects, the usual suspects that worked in the Bush administration, the neocons that destroyed the paleocons in the 90s and the 80s, the globalists in favor of degeneracy that are not Christian, they're atheists and Jewish people, they support all these terrible policies? Or will there at the very least be a conversation, a dialectic between a real authentic right and those same forces? If we're lucky, and if we fight very hard, maybe the next decade could be defined simply by the paleoconservatives. People like us, people like Michelle Malkin and Ann Coulter, and all the people that have stuck their neck out and defended us this week. You know, people like me, or Jake Lloyd, or Vince James, Patrick Casey, Steve Franson, Scott Greer. You know, I can't name them all right now, but I mean, you get the picture. So I look at what's happening in the news, and I'm scratching my head and I'm wondering, what's going on with all these boomers? This is like a boomer soap opera. Impeachment, everybody tediously following all the details every day on Nancy Pelosi said, and all this is what happened in this congressional committee. Oh, all the congressmen went into the closed door meeting and they disrupted and they ordered pizza. Based? You know, or this thing on The View. Don Jr. went on daytime television and he really triggered all the liberals. Who gives a shit if Joy Behar wore blackface or not? The president is running for re-election in 2020. We don't have any substantial amount of wall. We're bringing in a record amount of immigrants. There's no trade deals to speak of. We're not even out of the Paris Climate Accords. The real news is happening right here. The battle is starting and it's happening on the college campuses. And if we win this, and we fight really hard, and if we're smart about it, the young people that are here now with us watching the show, or they're asking the questions, if we play our cards right, they will define the American right for the next generation. That's what we're playing for, you know? So I was so tempted. I'm always just so tempted to just revert back to the news and talk about what they're talking about on Fox and whatever. But you know what? To me, it's all bullshit. And everybody knows that. It's all a bunch of political theater. This is what, you know, Benny Johnson and all the people are fighting, by the way, and their proxies and their media allies. This is what they deem is good content. And to me, that is just symptomatic of how controlled the system really is. That people are sitting there at home, you know, they're boldly watching CRTV or Free Speech TV or Fox News or whatever, and they think the battle is between Whoopi Goldberg, you know, or who is that other actress that held up, you know, Kathy Lee Gifford, and President Trump and his son, and, you know, while we're at it, Jared Kushner, right? You know, to me, that just goes to show the real dynamic here. What level are you on? Are you on the surface level? You're watching the shadows on the wall, inside the matrix, whatever analogy, or are you aware of what's really happening? The origin of something that could be really big in the ensuing year and then could define a long period after that. So that's a little bit on the news. If you're expecting me to come on the show and say, well, good evening, everybody. You're watching America First. Don Jr. made liberal heads explode when he owned Joy Behar. He triggered that bitch by saying she wore blackface. Who cares? Who even watches The View anyway? Baby boomers, old people, left-wing people. It's a center-left soap opera. I think Darren Beatty or Kurt Mills, somebody described it as that on Twitter with impeachment, The View. It is literally a daytime boomer soap opera. The real conversation, the real battle is happening in this Groyper War. It's young people standing up. They're looking at the movers and shakers that maybe are not on TV but are moving things behind the scenes, and they're demanding answers. They're saying, you're not right wing. You're left wing, actually. And you're hurting the country. And we're going to put a stop to it. So that, I just had to get that out of my system. Because I just need The View. Whoopi Goldberg. What are we doing? What are we doing, everyone? What are you doing if you're participating in this, right? But we're going to move on. We're going to talk about our featured story here. The YAF memo. This is the big story for tonight. And again, like I said, I want this to be used as a resource for people in Turning Point USA, conservatives, broadly speaking, who might not be totally on board with what we're saying, because you know what? For what it's worth, I get it, and I think I have to be patient, and a lot of you have to be patient with some of the people, some of the rank and file, which is a good term, that are in Turning Point USA, or that support Turning Point USA. Do they really know what's going on? Do they really know what's going on behind the scenes in the organization? And more on that, you know, we're really going to get into what's going on in that organization. Some really bad stuff in the ensuing weeks. We're trying to figure out how to proceed with that. But anyway, but do they really know who Charlie Kirk is, what they're about? And maybe we have to give them time to come over on some of these issues. They've been fed this socialism sucks, Israel rocks, and anal sex is the best. They've been being fed that propaganda from like all the viral conservative content creators for a decade now, right? Whether it's PragerU or it's Daily Wire, or frankly, to some extent, there's a faction in Breitbart that supports this. And you could go down the list, Fox News, whatever. You have to be patient with them coming over to the issues over time, because we're trying to wake them up. It can be startling. You know, we tell them, hey, there's nothing really that conservative about two guys making out, right? But something actually that conservative or nationalistic about, you know, getting on your knees and like what kissing the Western Wall or whatever. So we have to give them time. But hopefully a story like this will show them that what we're saying is legitimate, right? That what we represent is patriotism, and we represent is nationalism, and we are who we say we are. And Turning Point USA, even if you subscribe to some of the limited government, libertarian, conservative type ideology, well, you probably don't agree with everything that's going on organizationally. Maybe that'll clue you into who these people are and who's pushing that ideology, right? Because it's not coincidental that the people pushing that ideology happen to be doing all these nefarious things in their organization. But as I said, this is a memo from Young America's Foundation. Young America's Foundation is a competing conservative campus organization. Turning Point USA basically came in and totally stole their thing, stole their thunder, co-opted a lot of their groups, their events, their activities. YEF is not good. Turning Point is not good. They're both sort of cucked. Again, libertarian conservative types, but YEF did this memo about Turning Point USA. It was an internal memo, but it got leaked to the media, so they figured they'd go ahead and print it for everybody to see, and they talked about some of the dangers of Turning Point USA. YEF is an organization that ostensibly promotes the same ideas as Turning Point, but in spite of that, they wrote this scathing memo talking about how, again, even if you subscribe to that limited government, individualistic type ideology, Turning Point USA is still pretty bad news. And I'll read to you some excerpts here. This is from their website. It says, quote, "The following is the text of a memo which was designed for internal guidance only, but was obtained by the media. Subsequently, a Turning Point USA spokesperson distorted what Young America's Foundation was communicating. Here is the complete text to set the record straight." So that's the setup. As I said, it was published around springtime last year in 2018. It says, quote, "Nationwide, student activists are coming to us with questions about Turning Point USA. They tell us they are frustrated that Turning Point USA claims credit for their events and creates turmoil within their YAF chapters and other groups. Students are seeking direction from our team about whether to cooperate with Turning Point USA. It says, in order to provide guidance to students, our team needs to understand that Turning Point USA is unlike any of the many conservative movement organizations we have worked with in the past." So understand, it's not me saying that. It's not the alt-right, the Westboro Baptist kids, the, you know, Holocaust deniers, so-called, you know, by Sebastian Gorka and others. It's not me saying Turning Point is especially bad. This is YEF. This is who Ben Shapiro works with, Steven Crowder, all the main names going back for quite some time. This is their organization. They're saying Turning Point USA is unlike any other organization. They are uniquely bad. Keep that in mind. It says, quote, "This memo is not a comprehensive analysis of concerns about Turning Point's approach. It is not a report on the many alarming incidents students have shared with us over the years," and they've been shared with me as well, trust me on that. "Rather, it is a compilation of information from public sources outlining the lack of integrity, honesty, experience, and judgment of this growing organization. Founded in 2012 by Charlie Kirk, TPUSA emerged to, quote, identify, educate, train and organize students to promote the principles of freedom, free markets, and limited government," which all of those are quite gay, in my opinion. Anyway, "from the start, Kirk made bold claims about Turning Point USA that could not possibly be true about a startup organization working with young people. Early marketing materials described Turning Point as the umbrella organization for the young conservative movement, under which Young America's Foundation, Leadership Institute, Intercollegiate Studies Institute, the Fund for American Studies, Young Americans for Liberty, and other groups operate." So in other words, they said, this is all ours. Turning Point USA came on the scene. You know, we know the infamous story. Charlie Kirk confronted Foster Freeze in the elevator. He got all these big money people to throw money behind him. He launched this organization, I think, what did it say, in 2012? And right when they got on the scene, they said, everything belongs to us. We are the leader. We are the biggest organization in the conservative movement. Everything is our domain. Another thing to keep in mind is this sort of expansionist, imperialist idea, because it's going to play an important part later on. It says, early on, Kirk made a name for himself by appearing regularly on Fox News. He gained the confidence and support of key business leaders in the Midwest who made significant gifts to grow Turning Point USA quickly. Another interesting thing, who do you think the business leaders are in the Midwest? You know, business leaders in agriculture, business leaders in some of these other sectors. It might be worth noting sectors that employ cheap labor. You know, maybe that has something to do with immigration. It says Kirk established an impressive social media and online presence for Turning Point USA. What he lacked in activities, he made up for through clever marketing using pictures of students holding up signs and making unverified claims about the thousands of students involved with Turning Point USA. And then the memo gets into some of the actual incidents, some of the actual episodes where Turning Point is bad. Their first segment is about how Turning Point USA just outright falsifies their data, falsifies all their information. And I'll read you this excerpt. It says, quote, Turning Point USA's falsification of numbers and activities has been widely known among conservative movement leaders for years. As a result, many groups reaching far more students in Turning Point USA have felt pressure to inflate their own numbers in order to compete. Here are a few documented cases of Turning Point's falsification of numbers and activities. One example is Kirk claims Turning Point USA recruited 3,850 students at CPAC in a year when the number of students who even attended CPAC was fewer than 2,400. And most were already recruited by others, including Rand Paul's network, the Leadership Institute, Young America's Foundation, and CPAC staff. So they said, we're recruiting 4,000 students. There weren't even 2,500 at the event where they said they recruited them at. Kirk claims Turning Point USA has 400 chapters. In earlier years, Kirk claimed that they had 1,200 chapters. So about 6 years ago, Charlie Kirk said there were 1,200 chapters. They say there's only 400. That's what they claim now. But there was a study done about this from an independent source that said, quote, Turning Point claims grassroots support on campuses across the country, but the closer you look, the patchier the grass sometimes seems. I searched through about 200 different social media feeds out of Turning Point's 400 officially registered chapters and found that multiple chapters haven't updated their pages in months. Some haven't been touched in more than a year. So they said there were 1,200. Then they said, okay, that's ridiculous. There's only 400. Kind of reminds me of something, but I'm not going to get into that right now. He said initially there were 1,200 chapters. I don't know. That seems like a lot, Charlie. That seems like a lot of chapters. And now he says there's only 400. He revised it down. I don't know. I would think it would go up, but he said there's only 400 chapters. Somebody actually did the hard work. I just can't help myself when I say things like that. I just can't help it. It's so funny. But somebody actually looked into it. They went into the social media accounts of 200 different chapters, and they found that dozens of them hadn't been updated in months, some years. So they go from 1,200, now they say 400. They look at half of them, and they find that there's dozens of falsifications, dozens of chapters that are clearly not active. So they're fudging their recruitment numbers. They're fudging the chapter numbers. It says, quote, other organizations have reported other unethical activity as well, including, quote, paid Turning Point staff members attending other organizations' events under false pretenses and attempting to recruit for Turning Point USA from the other organization's existing members. Another example is paid Turning Point staff members claiming credit for other organizations' events by posting pictures on social media of students with Turning Point signs in front of other organizations' events. And lastly, and to me, this is kind of a critical thing, it says, quote, another issue of potentially illegal, although not unethical activity, involves Kirk's support of a number of political candidates. Several news outlets have reported that Kirk's activities on behalf of Turning Point USA may have crossed the line in violation of laws regulating 501c3 nonprofit organizations. The alleged violations call into question Kirk's judgment, not only about risking the loss of Turning Point nonprofit status, but also about giving credence to the left's narrative that conservative nonprofits should be more heavily regulated. I don't really care about that last part, but to me, like, does that not send out a red flag? Does that not set off the alarm bells? Turning Point USA is a 501c3. A 501c3, meaning they're a nonprofit, meaning that contributions to Turning Point by these business leaders are tax deductible. And while Charlie Kirk is taking tax-deductible donations for a 501c3, he's endorsing candidates, he's engaging in partisan activities, he's engaging in electioneering. That's illegal! Because, of course, if it's tax-exempt, that means to an extent the government is sort of funding it in a way, right? If the money that's being spent on Turning Point is not being taxed, you know, that's the rules of the 501c3, is it cannot be connected in any way to for-profit activities, cannot be connected to politics in any way. You could see where there would be a conflict of interest if somebody was getting a legal advantage as a 501c3 and then donating that money to a campaign. Like, that's an illegal way that the government is helping a campaign. So to me, I look at this long list of them inflating the numbers, these expansionist activities, which may seem sort of petty, you know, taking pictures in front of other events and, you know, poaching members and whatever. But to me, all of this creates a pattern in my mind. This whole story from start to finish of coming out of the scene and claiming that they control the entire conservative movement. They're being funded from big business donors in the Midwest, and they're being set up by Fox News. Charlie Kirk is being installed by Fox News, by the Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch's kids, right? And we know that Fox News is not really our ally anymore. Charlie Kirk comes on the scene and then tries to take over all these organizations, sends his staff members to go and poach members, sends staff members to take credit for their events, starting up organizations, then fudging the numbers and lying about it, saying there's 1,200 chapters. No, there's 400 chapters. Nobody really knows how many chapters there are. Nobody really knows. We just have to take their word for it, I guess, right? Nobody knows how many recruits that they have. How many people have been recruited at CPAC or in other events? They just openly lie about it. Again, this is to illustrate if anybody was on the fence before, because a lot of people have told me, a lot of boomers, a lot of people that disagree with me, people that believe in libertarian conservatism like Charlie Kirk, my bone is not with you. My bone is not with the rank and file people in Turning Point USA, or my beef is not with these people. It's with this organization. And you could see where if you're a legitimate conservative, or, you know, or you do subscribe to Charlie Kirk's fake ideology, you can say that what this represents, as we've been saying for weeks, is not merely one in another constellation of conservative organizations. It is a uniquely bad organization whose goal is not to advance libertarian conservatism. I mean, maybe that's one of their ends. But their end fundamentally is to subvert and destroy the conservative movement. They are trying to get in there. They're trying to subvert it, take over the college activities, take over a lot of the campaign activities. They want to get Donald Trump involved, get the GOP involved, and they want to be the ones that control the conversation. They want to control the conversation. They want to control the apparatus of the conservative movement. They want to control the college campus. And they want to dictate, this is what conservatism looks like. That's Charlie Kirk's endgame. So, in a sense, yes, his endgame is to advance so-called libertarian conservatism, corporate conservatism, the conservatism of his donors that want him to bring in cheap labor, that see no problem with the degeneracy going on in the country, that see no problem with the foreign aid to Israel, because they're the ones, you know, footing the bill, is the Zionists and the pro-Israel people. And this is what Charlie Kirk represents. You know, we say Conservative Inc., some people have asked me what that means. What does Conservative Inc. mean? What does establishment mean? It means this. It means an apparatus which is nakedly about political power. It's an apparatus. It's not about America. It's not about voters. It's not about Christianity. It is about creating this sort of disgusting Leviathan political apparatus that's designed to funnel donor money in to get political power on the college campuses and advance the interests of big money and big lobby people. That's what this is about. And this is even being acknowledged by Young Americans for Freedom. Young America's Foundation. Young America's Foundation agrees with Charlie Kirk. You know, they say Charlie Kirk's agenda is free market, limited government, you know, whatever. That's what YAF believes in. And even they are saying Turning Point USA is uniquely bad. They are dominating everybody. They're going in and controlling all these organizations. And ultimately, they're doing that for the donors. And I'll say there's a little bit of an interesting contrast there. The people that have been at the YAF events, like Crowder and Shapiro and Matt Walsh, they have engaged with our questions. Have you noticed that? I mean, I'm not going to say that Shapiro and all these guys are good. I'm not going to say that they're in favor of a free exchange of ideas, because they did a pretty half-assed job of answering our questions, right? But Shapiro, Walsh, all these guys will engage. And they will engage because fundamentally, they are not on their donor strings in much the same way that Turning Point USA is. That's not to say that they don't answer to donors, but why does Charlie Kirk and Dan Crenshaw, why did they get on the stage And when somebody asks about the USS Liberty or whatever, they literally just send them out of the room. They obfuscate. They come up with these ridiculous non-answers, whatever. It's because they know that if we even talked about these things, if we were to even engage in the conversation, as limited as it is during these Q&As, their donors would be furious because this is stepping outside of the bounds of the acceptable conversation as dictated by Charlie Kirk, by his donors. Whereas the other people, because they do have some real beliefs, and I would say Ben Shapiro is a legitimate actor who pursues legitimate goals. Obviously, we don't agree with those goals. We think they're terrible, and he's working in much the same way to discredit us and whatever, but he's going up there and engaging and answering, whereas Charlie Kirk, you see it in the way that he dismisses, in the way that he shuts down free speech, he uses security, how his organization conducts itself, that he is a hollow shell of a person. Turning Point USA is a hollow shell of an organization. It is, in the purest sense, conservative ink, something that is designed merely to funnel money and move people around for the lobbyists. So I think that's why it's so important to cover this memo. That's really why I want to bring it up, because that's been the angle for the past couple of weeks. You know, and that's not to say that we're not fighting for our ideas. That's not to say that we're not trying to push America First and Christianity and trying to hold people accountable. But it is to say that it's also important for people to acknowledge, even if they disagree, even if you think I'm a bad guy, if you don't agree with me, you don't like my ideas, whatever, the Turning Point USA is a very bad organization that deserves to fall. And until very recently, people were afraid of speaking out against Charlie Kirk. People were afraid of speaking out against Turning Point USA because of the clout that they hold. And so taking them out of the game would be a huge step in the right direction of opening up the conversation, getting us a seat at the table, creating a legitimate Big Ten movement. So it'd be a very tactical victory if they were taken out of the game. And I think everybody should consider that. Not just us, not just the Groypers and the America Firsters and so on, but even people that might go for an event at YAF, right? Even people that might work for similar organizations believing some of the same things. The Turning Point is a common enemy. But we're going to move on. We're going to take your super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying. It is my understanding tonight that the Ben Shapiro event does not begin for another half hour. So Ben Shapiro will start at Stanford University in 30 minutes. And as I said at the top of the show, I anticipate that he'll go for an hour or something like that, you know, maybe 45 minutes to an hour monologuing or doing whatever. I anticipate that the Q&A will start at around 10. And so, you know, the show has typically this week ended at around 10. Whenever it is that he starts the Q&A, we'll cut it off. We'll jump over to DLive and we'll start covering the Q&A live. So that's my game plan for tonight. Hopefully, I'm sure this is probably totally futile to say this, but I'm hoping maybe we could finish early. Maybe we could finish at like 9:30. And then I could get ready and we could stream a little bit before the Q&A. So I'm going to try and speed through these as quickly as possible. We've got Ben, who says, a lot of people want to ask about irrelevant Israel questions. This is going to make us look alt-right. People don't know how to ask about Israel. You know, the problem is not that we're asking about Israel. I agree. It's the, you know, admittedly, they say this about us, but I will say there is sort of a fixation. It's one issue to me, among others, that are important to attack conservative ink on. Immigration, Christian values, Israel. You know, these are our three pillars. I see them as co-equal. If there were a first among equals, to me, it wouldn't be Israel. It would be demographic change, you know? So I agree. People want to make this about the edgelord fest, edgy fest. Oh, well, I'm going to bring up the other thing that Israel did. I'm going to bring up, you know, this more esoteric conspiracy about Israel, when they're missing the point. You know, we have to attack them on multiple fronts, and when we do hit them on these issues, we have to hit them in a way that is persuasive at an introductory level to people that might be listening. You have to ask yourself, what is the end game? Why am I asking this question? Is it to, you know, make myself feel good? Is it to feel a dopamine rush? Is it to impress my friends and be edgy? Or am I asking a question to do damage to the conservative establishment? Because they would love nothing more than for somebody to go up to the microphone. They would love, for example, they would love nothing more than if some TRS Spurg got on the microphone and started rambling about Jews. They would eat that up. And I'm not saying don't talk about, you know, world Jewry amongst yourselves. Or, you know, don't watch content that discusses that. But I'm saying for the purpose of this operation, it is not tactically beneficial. You know, I saw a video the other day, somebody clipped where I said, don't ask questions about conspiracies about 9/11. And they said, oh, Nick Fuentes has shut down 9/11 conspiracies. I endorse people questioning that. I would say very lightly that I don't know if I believe the official narrative about that. But there's a time and a place for everything. And I think they would love nothing more for somebody to go up there, either they're controlled or they're a wignet. They would love nothing more than for some TRS Spurg or somebody like that, somebody adjacent, to come up to the microphone and say, hey, goys, you know, and go into some weird rant that's going to alienate and turn off everybody. Yeah, some people might yuck it up online for a few minutes, but you will have effectively killed the movement. They will pigeonhole us. They will brand us as the same old, and we'll be back to square one in a lot of ways, you know, so... And it's very important to understand that. And again, I want to reiterate, if you want to get a clip, so we could get maybe a series of clips together, if anything like that happens, then we disavow that kind of stuff. We disavow the TRS, Wignat, whatever, type people that might show up. It's about America first. We're asking about Israel, how it pertains to America. We're talking about demographic change, race. We're talking about crime. We're talking about homosexuality and Christianity, you know, Christian values. So it's a very important point to make. I'm glad you said that. Foy says, our adversaries right now are likely planning something terrible to discredit and deflate our momentum. They hold no boundaries to remain in power. All Nickers need is to be vigilant and hold high standards while the spotlight is on us. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that is exactly what I just said, is that, you know, this will be the next attempt. Because shy of putting implants, there's nothing they can do about this. That's what makes me concerned about it. And like I said at the top of the show, doing the introduction, if we ask our questions or we get escorted out, we win. So those strategies are not going to work. What might work for them is if they inject somebody in there, either a wignat or some kind of a turning point person or a left-wing person, and that would be something that would be very difficult for us to counter. So we have to anticipate that. Maybe preemptively by saying that's not what we're about, but also to, like you say, be vigilant, hold high standards. So I agree. KF says, keep doing God's work. Thanks. Kyle says, the TP USS Liberty is sinking. Yes, turning boat USA, turning boat USS Liberty is going down. A sustained attack by the Goyper Nation. It was an accident. You know, in 50 years, they're going to say, what do you have to say, Nick Fuentes, about the Groyper attack on turning boat USS Liberty? Well, as I said, it was we were just asking questions. It was not a sustained attack, you know, where we finished them off with tough questions for months at a time, right? That's pretty funny. VG says, a great result of these Q&As is onlookers are being exposed to reasonable, self-contained questions that they expect should get a clear answer. That's a lot more valuable than naming them epically. Exactly right. Another great point. Griffiths says, hey, Nick, Groyper is going to groype. Also, would you prefer the United States to be a monarchy rather than a republic? God bless. Yeah, I probably would prefer a monarchy to a republic at this point. Jacob says, have you seen Venti counter-signaling the movement? She's been seething ever since you stopped talking to her after Miami. Well, I never, like, stopped talking to her. I think we talked since Miami. We talked about Joker, which came out on the 4th of October, and Miami was before that. So I never said, like, I'm not going to talk to her, but I will say it's very poor form. I get what she's trying to do. She's trying to be edgy. She's trying to troll. Frankly, she's trying to troll my audience and the people that are into this. But I will say that it's just sort of, you have to set some boundaries on that, you know? I mean, I get what she's trying to do, but I feel like a lot of people in our movement use similar tactics or troll in a similar way, might have the same attitude, but I think we all put that aside when we realize that we're making progress. As so-called irony poisoned or nihilistic or black-pilled as people on our side get, when we see that something is happening, when we see that an opening has appeared or an opportunity has opened up, I think people rally around and say, okay, we're going to fight earnestly now in favor of this. And we might use ironic tactics or something like that, but now it's time to earnestly fight for our future because at the end of the day, we care deeply about our country. We might joke around, we might be ironic online, that's sort of the zeitgeist of the moment, but when you're alone... And we all are alone. When you're going to bed at night, you think about why we're doing this. What keeps you up at night? You know, what you worry about for the future. And that is what you see happening to somebody like James Younger. It's what's happening to your neighborhoods. the people that are coming into your schools and so on. And so when somebody doesn't acknowledge that, when somebody doesn't really understand that, to me, it's just kind of sad. It just it doesn't really work. It's not funny. I mean, we get what you're trying to do. We get what Brittany Venti's trying to do, but you know, I don't think that's really what we need right now. I think that's just your very poor form. Now, it's not very sportsmanlike, but femoids don't really understand that concept. So I'm not saying I don't like talk to her or whatever, but I think we know what she's up to. But we just have to shake our head. Don't get triggered. Don't be like, oh, what? She's counter-signaling us. Just be like, you know, like you really don't get it. You know, what's wrong with you? You just got to be dismissive about that kind of stuff. Tandrew says, the die is cast. Yes, yes, the die has been tossed. March of the Titans says, when JLP called you a beta, I was dying. He's great. Yeah, he was killing me with the beta stuff. He's like, what did he say? He's like, why are you living with your parents? Beta! He was asking me about being a gamer. I said, I am a gamer in my Twitter profile. He's like, what does that mean? You're a gamer. You're a gamer, he says. I said, well, I play video games. He goes, beta! But he's just busting my balls a little bit. Maybe that's a cop on my part. He's just busting my balls, guys. He doesn't actually mean it. No, but he cracks me up, too. That guy's hilarious with the way he's talking about homosexuals, talking about Rob Smith. He's got a husband, he says. Very funny. Very very charming guy. As I said yesterday, very good energy. You could tell that he's just a sincere, authentic, straight-up good guy. So he's welcome in the coalition. We love that guy. Lib Status says, Lib Status smashed. Wow, well, thanks for the update. Sammy Davis Jr. says, some of the OG Groypers are dragging you on the timeline for yoinking the Groyper vibe from them. Very sad day for Groypers worldwide. I don't know what you mean by OG Groyper. I invented the Groyper. I don't know if you know that, but I personally drew the first Groyper. I personally got a sheet of printer paper and a marker, and I drew Groyper. I'm the inventor and innovator of Groyper. People don't know that my middle name is actually Groyper. What do you think the J stands for? It stands for Groyper. Nicholas Groyper Fuentes. So, yeah, I mean, I saw some of that on the timeline. If you see any Groypers countersignaling me, the inventor of Groyper, just know that they are fake. Those are fake Groypers. Those are Apus pretending to be Groypers. You know, it's like that meme of Wojak and he's got the mask on and the mask is smiling and he's crying behind it. It's like that. It's an Apu or some other kind of infiltrator. Maybe it's a Pepe and they've got the Groyper face on and they're crying behind it, but the Groyper's out there. Not very cozy. Not very cozy to countersignal the founder, the originator of Groyper. So yeah, I see a little bit of that on the timeline. It doesn't really bother me. Everybody knows that they may have adopted Groyper, but we were born in it. We created it. I am the leader of all Groypers. If Groypers have a problem with that, they're going to get groiped. You know what happens to Groypers that deny the king and originator of Groypers? What are Groypers, what are they really good at? You know what happens to them. In a dark alley, you know, you see some fake Groyper. He's finished counter-signaling for the day. He finished shilling for Charlie Kirk for the day, thinking to himself, we really showed those Amnats who's boss. I'm a cringe Gen X fat. And he's about to say faggot. And then, uh-oh, gun to his head. It's a pack of Groypers. They say, we heard what you've been saying about Nick Fuentes. Now it's time to get raped. So, you know, I wish them luck in their endeavors. But, I mean, we know who. The original Groyper, his name is Nick Fuentes. And there's evidence for this. People, there were so many personal witnesses of me drawing Groyper on my ThinkPad or my whatever, on my artistic tablet. So yeah, reject Groyper usurious forces trying to usurp the Groyper movement. We won't allow it. There's nothing cozy about that. There's nothing cozy about, he took Groyper, whatever. Bitch, I invented Groyper. Kyle Loon says, how about instead of asking a reasonable question in the Q&A, I start astral projecting and reading bad quotes. It'd be based in esoteric. Yeah, definitely don't do that. Koenig says, do you scratch and sniff, Nick? I don't know what that means. Lib Status says, pouring one out for the death of RAF with NJF. The only reason I still ever browsed Reddit. Did that go down? Damn it! We just got to 4,000 members and our subreddit got banned. Whatever. We'll start up another one. We'll start something on another website. We'll call it, we'll call it Reddit.groiper, and we'll have America First NJF on there instead, right? That's so sad. I know we got banned on Reddit before. I don't really like Reddit, but, you know, you get a good thing going. It keeps tumbling down. Whatever. Reddit can't stop us. Probably the groipers that hang out on Reddit that reported us. Probably the fake Redditor groipers that said, we have to downvote their content. We have to downvote their content. They're not playing nice. Squilliam says, I don't know if you saw this, but PJW indirectly shouted you out in his latest video about Coomers. He said, who's got the clip? And played the infamous No E-Girls. I saw that. I did see that. And I appreciated it. Paul Joseph Watson, I don't know a lot about him. But, from what I've seen from him, his support of what we're doing, he was kind of one of the first people to say that what we're saying is legitimate. And I know in the past, some people have had issues with him from our side generally, but if he's willing to stick his neck out for us now, I welcome the support. I think that, he made a pretty good video about this today. He made a video, I think, on Telegram or Twitter that he uploaded, like a 10-minute video talking about it, which I thought was great. So, if he's going to throw some content, if he's going to throw us a bone, I say I'm very gracious for that. So I appreciated that he played the clip. It's a pretty good clip. But yeah, I did see that. Daniel says, if your question idea can fit in the care... it's sort of a delicate thing because I feel like everybody that I talk about, somebody has a problem with. Like the other day, somebody says, what do you think about Vox Day? And I'm like, yeah, he's okay. And it's like, I don't really even know that much about Vox Day. And people are saying, oh, he likes Vox Day, but he's no... And I'll say, I like PJW. And people are like, oh, what? This happened in 2011, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I saw his video. I liked his video. I appreciated the shout-outs. I appreciate what he's been doing for us. And my first impression is I like the guy. I think he's smart. I think he probably knows relevant facts. So, Spades says, 2 days ago in a video about the U.S. stock market, Styx calls the Groipers an ethno-nationalist movement. Is that an effect of libertarian poo brain? Possibly. I don't really know. I don't watch his content that much, so I didn't see that video. But it's not an ethno-nationalist movement. Maybe I can understand why I would say that, because the media has been calling it that. But I'll try and give him a pass. I'll be charitable at that. Daniel says, if your question idea can fit in the character count of a super chat, it's not a good question. That said, Mr. Shapiro, do you call it mini golf or just golf? That's pretty funny. Could you imagine if he did the Joker laugh? Hey, Ben, when do you guys play mini golf? Is it called just regular golf? And we're like, ha, 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 ha. We're walking away. You drop that one out. Police escort you out of here. You're laughing. Immediately get kicked out of the door. Stop laughing. Yeah, that's a pretty good line. Let's see. Spades, I just read that. Gino says, thanks for all the hard work and all the great content, Nick. We are winning because of good nationalists like you. Well, thank you. That's certainly true. Kulak says, Nick, I was at TAMU, both events. I don't know what that is. Would have been the last question. As we were leaving and he was almost off stage, I shouted, quote, red flag gun laws are unconstitutional. Me and the fellow Groipers got recorded by some boomer leaving. Yeah, don't even mind the boomers. Boomers are such fags. They're going to put a camera in your face like they're going to do anything about it. What are you going to do? Post it on Facebook so that, your niece is going to, see it and ignore it? You're going to post it on Facebook for your, 10 family members that are friends with you? And, Uncle John is going to say, wow, I can't believe that. So if you see any fat boomer sticking his chubby sausage fingers in your face with the phone, smack it out of their hands. No, I'm kidding. Don't assault them, but, pay it no mind. They're just a bunch of LARPers. But I don't know what TAMU event you're talking about. Was that the Dan Crenshaw event I saw yesterday? I think he was at a bar or something. If that's the case, then good job. Leos's questions about Steve King. PJW shouted you out today. Yeah, question about Steve King would be good. And yeah, I know. Jay Nova says, hi, Nick. What is your opinion on Noahide laws? What is Noahide laws? Isn't that the Ten Commandments or something? That's isn't that a Jewish term or something? Yeah, it's a Jewish Talmudic designation. So it sounds like some kind of Jewish super chat or something. The Ten Commandments I'm on board with. Gabriel says, Orlando Groipers rise up November 19th at UCF for Mr. Clavin. Klavan, yes. Andrew Klavan, our guy. Our guy, Andrew Klavan of the Daily Wire. Let's see. Dumbass, says Venti be like, a based in epic movement with a green frog as a mascot? This is just like my cringe and gay movement with the green frog as a mascot. Why do you guys pay attention? It's just, you know, you're just eating out of the palm of her hands. When you get triggered, you know, she posts something wild and everybody goes, guys, look at what, can you believe she said this? It's like she's a vapid e-girl lifestyle streamer. Why does this bother you? Why does this perturb you? I don't, like, wake up in a cold sweat thinking, what did Brittany Venti say about the Groypers? I don't really care, you know? Brittany Venti, I consider her friendly, you know? But all these people, it's just so, you guys are just so easy. Just so easily triggered, frankly. Hello, triggered department? What, do you need a safe space from Brittany Venti? That's not to say that I think what she's saying is good. I think what she's saying is, it's just bad. It's just wrong. It's like, why would you do that? We have a good thing going. It's something that, well, but these are e-girls, I think, that don't really have any beliefs. So you have to recognize it for what it is. That's not, again, I'm not saying, I think what she's doing is, it's very poor form. But, you know, people getting upset about it. I don't understand that. I understand that even less. Nico says, what's the plan for some, if for some reason there isn't a Q&A at the Don Jr. and Charlie Kirk event on Sunday? Hope to see the room packed with Groypers. If there's no Q&A, well, that's a victory for us because it means they've retreated. I mean, they've admitted defeat, essentially. But if there's no Q&A, I would do a chant at the end. I would say, I don't know, we'd have to think about that. We would have to think about that. Let me workshop that with some of the other generals. I'll consult with them, but maybe a chant at the end. We'll have to figure it out. Crisp Slacks says, is wearing the RIP Epstein shirt bad optics for question asking? Yeah. Only because the Epstein thing is, it's been co-opted by normies at this point. Lone Marauder says, okay, Boomer is funny until millennials co-opted it. Now I'm seeing in articles about how it's being used to fight climate change. Millennials are just boomers with no money and sex life. I've been saying that for years. You know, Gen X is boomers with no money. Millennials are boomers, but with no money and like really nothing at all. They're in debt. They have negative money. But yeah, it's pretty horrible to see. Because they don't understand that boomers are like left-wing retards, you know? So they'll say like, oh, you're not on board with homosexuality? Okay, boomer. It's like boomers invented that. Oh, you're not on board with liberalism? Okay, boomer. Like, boomers are a liberal generation. Yeah, they've ruined it. Oh, you're not on board with climate activism? Okay, boomer. It's like, no, okay, retard. Okay, millennial. Kane Jeeper says, AF with NJF has been banned. Yeah, I see. Kulak says, he being Dan Crenshaw on Monday nights. Okay. FF says, who do you think has the better rhymes, Ghostface Killa or Inspected Deck? That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I would have to say Ghostface Killa would be my pick. I mean, I love them both, but I would just have to say on a track like Protect Your Neck, I would have to say, I mean, that to me is like the epitome. It would probably have to go to Ghostface Killa. Big Dick Rick Savage has been looking into the Black Cube and Saturn stuff all day. I think I finally have an understanding of it. Jews, okay. I don't know if I could read this part's a little bit unoptical. Blah, blah, blah. It's represented by the Black Cube and Saturn, if I'm piecing it all together correctly. Yeah, well, again, you could. I don't really want the show to become the Saturn show, but I encourage everybody who's interested to check all that out. The hexagon cube on the top of Saturn and the cube that's in Mecca and the cube that's in New York City and things like that. It's just worth looking into, that's all. But I'm glad that you explored. Sheik Nihilism says, will you be streaming the Logan Paul fight? KSI will get TKO'd in the first round. No, I'm doing an event actually on Saturday, so I won't be at home. I don't know if I'll be streaming it. I might get home in time. We'll have to see how it all plays out, but I've got a little bit of plans on Saturday. So depending on when it ends, I don't really know exactly what time I'll be out until, so we'll have to see. Gen Z Philosophy says, when questioning Andrew Klavan, got introduced it by thanking Daily Wire and him specifically for being our guys, despite all the heat they get for it. That's actually so funny if you were to say that to Andrew Klavan. First of all, just want to say, Andrew Klavan, thank you for your unwavering support of our movement. We know you have to play close to the chest, but thank you for the support you've given to us. That would be so funny, honestly. Say that to Michael Knowles, too, because I got a picture of them. Michael, we know what you really believe. thank you so much. We saw the picture with Nick. We know you're our guy. That would be really funny if he did that. I endorse this. Zuck Cube of Saturn says, Lil Benny Shit Piro. Wow, that's great, Boomer. Bronzo says, drinking lightly sparkling water with lime before bed will keep you hydrated throughout the night and may help the body to rid itself of unwanted toxins. Wow, thanks for the tip. Jumpin' Jack says, oh God, I'm not going to read that. Glenn C says, turned 25 today, so unfortunately I am a boomer now. Think I'm going to go buy an expensive boat on a 12-year financing plan and only take it out once a year or something. I don't know. Socialism sucks. Well, thanks, big guy. Happy birthday. Happy 25th. It's like I always say. You turn 21, and then 22, and 23, and 24. Then you turn 25. And then you turn 30. And then you turn 40. And then you turn 50. And then you turn 65. And then you're 100. And it's over. And then you're 100, and then it's over. So you're on your way. You know, from here on out, it's just sort of like exponential decay. It's like you're going your whole life, your whole childhood flashing before your eyes. And you turn 25, and then... and then it's all gone. Time moving quickly. You never get these moments again. Slipping through your fingertips like sand, straight into the grave, straight into the earth, or burned and discharged into the atmosphere. But happy birthday. Hope it's a good one. Hope it's a good one in spite of that. It's tough for, I think about that all the time. It's tough for me to cope with that, but that seems to be how it goes. It seems to be, and it's a very dynamic thing. It's not just a static curve. It's just, we're going, and then, and then you go from being alive, from being young, to the great beyond. So you're well on your way. We salute you, Sky King, Space Cowboy. See you on the other side. He turns 25. See you in heaven. See you when we all die. No, but happy birthday. Hope it's a good one. First name says, why do you keep counter-signaling no fap and no nut? I've never counter-signaled either of those things, retarded bitch. I've never counter-signaled either of those things. Fallout says, of course I endorse. Name the one time I've ever endorsed nutting. I've said no nut forever. I've never said no nut November. You're right. I say no nut forever until you get married, bitch. Fallout says, I plan on going to the Charlie Kirk and Donald Trump Jr. event at UCLA. This Sunday, I would be wearing my America First hoodie, but it hasn't shipped. Okay, well, maybe you shouldn't have ordered it this week. Maybe you should have ordered it when it first came out in August. So, you know, Nibba going to be like, well, I'd be wearing my hoodie, but it hasn't shipped yet. Maybe you should have ordered it a little earlier. Melrose Diner says, New York, Nicka, feeling restless over here. When will one of these campus tours make it over here? Also, follow God while driving in the rain, schmood. Yeah, I don't know. New York is not really our home turf, but who knows? Maybe they'll get over there. Not really our control, right? I mean, we don't plan the events. We just show up to them, right? But yeah, you're right. Follow God in the rain. Total schmood. I endorse this. Ned Kelly says, okay, boomer meme. Ruined by femoid green politician from Cuck, Australia, a.k.a. New Zealand. Yeah, I saw that. E-boy nationalist says, nothing clever to say, just spreading comfy vibes. Well, thanks to one of the original Groypers, one of my soldiers. And, you know, it's just so funny. If they're going to say that, it's like, okay, I made Groyper. Okay, I'm taking all the credit. Fine. You know, if everyone's going to bitch and moan about it, then fine. So be it. And you're welcome for creating your Groyper hobby for you. I personally made yours. Dan D says, any thoughts on Roger Stone or his current situation? Has some books slamming Bush and Clinton families, but never got why alt-right people worship him. I don't know why people care about this stuff. All these people talking about Roger Stone and congressional hearings, it's like, it's a boomer soap opera. Who cares? I don't know anybody who's like interested in that or talking about that. Just lame. Who even knows what's going on with that? Oh, Roger Stone is like, what, getting like indicted or something? This is for like political junkies on both sides. You know, these fags that like listen to NPR and listen to like true crime podcasts and they drink tea and they have like, you know, very contemporary furniture in their apartment and they're, you know, and they're like, oh, like, what's the scoop on? They have like liberal friends and they talk to them and they're like, and you said that. Well, I have a clever thing to say to you. Oh, well, you know, Roger Stone, fake news, like whatever. You know the type I'm talking about. Libtards, metros, these kinds of characters. We're talking about yuppie political bitches. Nobody cares about that. No groiper. I ain't never heard of a groiper that cares about, what, Roger Stone's congressional hearing? No shade at Roger Stone. I've never met him. I don't know him. I don't know what's going on. But I'm just saying, who cares? All these people, you know, sauntering up. Roger Stone, what are you talking about, bro? What are you talking about, dude? Let's see. Michael says, intriguing stuff to me is a Gen Xer. Jargon glossary? No. No. Why would we explain it to the other generations? Why would we? No. The whole point of the jargon is to be deliberately insular. It's like that speech in The Young Pope. We want to make the door as small as possible for people to get in the movement. For people to get on the inside. You've got to be a Zoomer. You got to be an e-boy, not an e-girl. You got to be with it. So that's okay. Gen X can support us. You know, play your guitar, you know, have long hair, whatever. Have some kind of designer mustache. And, you know, and we will have you in the movement, but the jargon is for us, all right? You can, what did you guys watch on television? Friends, Seinfeld, Bonanza, Bonanza, MASH. I don't know. I don't know what you guys watched on television. Cheers. Now, Cheers is probably, that's probably too old for you guys, as would be some of those other ones. But let's see. Michael, I just read that. R.A. says, Congressman Crenshaw, how did you get your eye, I can't read that. How can you get your eye shut out when you're a manlet? Congressman, I thought smaller targets were supposed to be harder to hit. Yeah, definitely don't say that. I would advise, I would disavow anybody who said that. Excuse me. My apologies. What a show, right? The burping, the carrying on. Hello, burp moment. Hello, Brittany Venti moment. I'm aping Brittany Venti's bit, which is burping uncontrollably. I'm doing my Pickle Rick bit. No e-girls. It says, Nick, it's likely that with your recent success, you'll have donors rolling in soon. How can we be sure that big money will not alter your convictions like it has with Conservative Inc.? There, trust me, there's no big donors rolling in anytime soon. That has never been a problem for me. And it's so funny to me because it's like, I know so many people who, like, are half as relevant as me and, like, have no organic following, and they have big donors approaching them or advertisers or whatever. I have never been approached by a big donor. The only advertisers that have ever offered were, let me think. I can't even remember off the top of my head. I think I got one or two offers. Somebody offered, some like MAGA t-shirt company said, like, sell our t-shirts. I said, no, no, I'm not doing that. Somebody offered, I think, like a gold and silver thing one time. And I don't do advertisements. So I'm a little bit insulted by this question. You think I'm going to get co-opted by, you know, big donors or whatever? First of all, I can never do that because of how I talk. Nobody who talks about World Jewry gets big donors. Let me just tell you that much, right? I've never heard of something like that. Nobody talks about Israel the way I do gets big donors. Nobody talks about race the way I do gets big donors. So I don't think that's something we have to worry about anytime soon. But no, I'm not going to sell out. Why would I sell out at this point? I got offered a chance to sell out before my career started, before it was selling out. It was buying in at that point. You know, I could have had a job at Daily Wire. I could have been in the Leadership Institute. I had many opportunities to take the trip to Israel, to sign up for Conservative Inc. And from the start, I said, no, why would I be co-opted now? After I've made all these sacrifices, after I've seen what these people are about, after I've made my own success, I did it my own way. Why would I then go and co-opt now or get co-opted now? If that was what I was planning on doing, why would I have not done that when I was 18, before Charlottesville, before all this stuff? And, you know, by now I'd probably be on Fox News or whatever. So I reject your question. You're not a real Nick or not a true Nick if you question me like this. But no, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious who's controlled and who isn't. Joseph says, hey, Nicholas, what's up? Nothing much. What's up with you? Tori says, I was the one who emailed you the other day. America First is definitely building up massive support, and I got my friends and mom to start watching you. Much respect. Well, hey, thanks so much. Thanks for spreading the message. I did get back to you on email, and I'm going to follow up on that either tonight or tomorrow. But thanks for reaching out. I appreciate you sharing the show, and it's good to hear that the message is getting out there and that the movement is growing. Based femoid in an America First hat? Hello? Federal agent says, heard your epic gamers like watching TikToks and reading a little Ted K by the fireside. Want to buy a piece of me? or want to buy a piece off me? A federal agent. Heard you guys like watching TikToks and reading a little Ted K. Want to buy a firearm? Yeah, I mean, that's what it might as well be. Some of these accounts are so obvious. It's like, by the way, all girls, all flashy girls online are feds. Okay, I hate to say that to you, but if you see a tweet that's like, I just want flashy BF for the boogaloo, you know, and it's like some blonde stock image with the skull mask and there's like the lightning emojis and it says like, flashy wife or whatever. It's like, you're talking to a federal agent, you know, that's a dude, bro. That's a guy, you know, and they're going to say, oh, hi, uwu. I'm totally based. I'm totally flashy. And then they'll say, what's your social security number? By the way, are you interested in buying an unregistered firearm? So yeah, just got to be on the lookout. Just got to be very, as I've said from the beginning, just got to be extremely cautious and careful when it comes to people contacting you, personal information, things that seem too good to be true or things that seem phony. Always got to be vigilant and totally safe. Just always got to be on the safe side. Trust me on that. Pinnis says, hey King, I'm at the Shapiro event. Going to ask him about Lucky Larry Silverstein. Okay, yeah, definitely don't do that. I hope you're joking, because if you ask that, you'll be disavowed. You'll be cringe. That's not to say, again, not to say that you shouldn't ask that in your on your own time, all right, and investigate that by yourself, because there's a lot there, I think, but not for this operation. So I hope you're being ironic there. Gianni says, I know you're busy, but it would be very entertaining to see you win Jeopardy. Thanks for everything, bro. Your energy is contagious. What do you mean, like play Jeopardy on television, or do you mean like, is there a Jeopardy computer game? I don't really know. I'm not really sure what you mean. Mark says, Ben, I would like to set the record straight. Which country are you more loyal to, America or Israel? Now, that is a drive-by question that I endorse. I would endorse that question. I think that would be a good one. Zuck says, good to hear you're a Bill Whittle respecter. His video on the Frankfurt School is a perfect for red-pilling boomers. Anya, mate, that's exactly what I was thinking of. That's what red-pilled me. Well, I mean, more or less. One of these, like, boomers who I... one of the faculty members at my old high school, he turned me on to Bill Whittle. Back when I was like a sophomore in high school, I was in. Well, I don't want to say, because I had somebody the other day ask me about my middle school teachers. So I don't want to let on who it is. We got to be very careful now. Now that I'm like a Big E celebrity, I can't be doxing people. But I almost just doxed. So one of the guys that was running one of the organizations that I was in, he turned me on to Andrew Klavan and Bill Whittle and some of these other guys, because I was like, oh, I like Ben Shapiro, and I'm like a free market conservative. And he was like, oh, you should watch Andrew Klavan. He's so smart and funny. You should watch Bill Whittle. He's the best. And I started watching. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Bill Whittle, Afterburner. Bill Whittle, Firewall. This is the best. And then I saw that one, which is a little bit older, where he talks about cultural Marxism, this 15-minute takedown of critical theory in the Frankfurt School. So funny. And you know what was so funny about that video? Is it was in plain sight. He says, well, they call them the Frankfurt School because they originated in Frankfurt, Germany. They were communists and Jews, doubly unwelcome in Hitler's Germany. That's like verbatim from the video. I remember it because I watched it so many times. Hiding in plain sight. He was describing critical theory and, you know, how they came to Columbia. He said the Frankfurt School, this group of Marxist philosophers who are communist and Jewish, doubly unwelcome in Hitler's Germany. So they came to America, just spread their bad ideas. But I didn't even catch that until like years later. But it's sort of a good entry level red pill to get people to start thinking about these things, you know. Talks about Native America, feminists, whatever. All these different things are all attacks on Western white civilization, America and hamburgers and whatever. He would have this series called Why America's Great. It was like a 7-part series, like science and you know, our economy's big. No, but I do like him. I do think he's a smart guy. He's a pilot. You know, there's something Apollonian about this. Anyway, this is probably uninteresting for a lot of people, but to me, it's very funny. Zuck says, good to hear you, or I just read that. Maga Zog says, black women are beautiful. Okay. Everyone's beautiful. Al Ron says, half Crenshaw question, or one out of two. Question Q, you say that Jerusalem informs our morality, but in the same breath, say that Christianity should not influence our decision on gay marriage. So my question is to you, if Christianity is not what is informing our morality, then what in Jerusalem is? That's a good question. That is it. Wow, Super Chat game is strong tonight. Yesterday they were terrible, and tonight they're great. That is a perfect question. Definitely ask that one. I'm going to copy and paste that right now, because that is a winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I'm going to, oh shit, I got to Google search it. Just so I have it, then I'll search the second part. That I think that one rocks. Because that really does get to the heart of it. It brings up that quote. That's rock solid. Troy says, Nick, how long do we have until you sell out and end all discussion of Israel's influence and global degeneracy? Maybe 10 more shows exactly like this, and then I'll say, you know what, just give me the check, you know? After how many weeks of being bombarded by super chats or people just questioning my loyalty, right? You know, people like who should be on my team giving me a hard time, I'd be like, you know what, I'll just take the money, you know, F you. No, I'm kidding. I'll never sell out. I have no need to sell out, not who I am. You know, and I've been given many opportunities, plenty of opportunities, small ways, big ways to sell out, and I never have. And you know that. Jake says, you're killing it, Nick. Keep trusting God to guide you. Ignore the haters. Stay humble and don't forget to love others. Prayer's going your way, dude. Well, thanks, buddy. Yes, I'm with you on all that. Charlie Kirk says, I know about the Black Cube. I know about everything. Big if true, says Charlie Kirk. Classical positioning says, when will Israel, like Iran, get a nuclear inspection and sign the non-proliferation treaty? Mossad assassinated 5 of their scientists and bystanders. To me, that's a good question. People should be aware of that, you know, that Israel has a nuclear program. They totally lied to our inspectors from the beginning. In the Kennedy administration, they lied to our inspectors. They would build up fake walls, you know, just like they would have Americans tour their nuclear facilities, and they would literally construct fake walls. And they knew they were fake because they were freshly painted. So that they would, you know, tour these inspectors through basically a fake facility, and then when the inspectors left, they would tear down the new walls and they'd resume construction on a nuclear arsenal. So, you know, people should be aware of that. But I don't know if that's really relevant to what we're doing with this. MB says, and another one, thanks. Bill Cosby says, why do you have Adam Green blocked? He's one of the biggest anti-Zionist YouTube channels out there. Yeah, because he called me a Zionist shill, so I blocked him. I'm not a Zionist shill. Ryan says, you've made fun of the dumb question suggestions every night, but they don't stop coming. What is their deal? Tonight, they're pretty good, I will say. Fat Nibba says, amazing Lucas is pretty woke. That live chat was pretty cringe, though. Yeah, well, what do you expect? I mean, I think you kind of know what's going on there, right? But he was a good guy, and he was nice. He was respectful. And the questions were good. I thought he was a quality interviewer. Willie says, gunpowder plot 2, when? What was that, the Guy Fawkes thing? Yeah. Joshua says, did anyone ask Ben where Cassie Dillon's tattoo is? Yeah, somebody should ask that. 100%. That would be hilarious. So somebody went up and said, hey, Ben, where's Cassie Dillon's tattoo? That would be amazing. And not for any other reason other than it would completely humiliate her. And to me, that is funny. Gunrunner says, hey, Nick, big fan of the show. Just want to ask why you have blocked Adam Green, a.k.a. No More News on Twitter, because he called me a Zionist shill. And he's denied that before. Somebody like an intermediary said, oh, Adam Green said he never called you that. I remember specifically because I knew who he was and I liked a lot of his content. And he said, oh, this Nick Fuentes is a Zionist shill. And I said, blocked? No tolerance for that. And then he doesn't even own up to it. He just denies it. He says, oh, I never said that about Nick. So, I mean, if he wants to say, look, I don't carry a grudge. If he wants to say, I'm sorry I called you a Zionist shill, you're not. Then okay, then I'll unblock him. But, you know, he called me that. It was totally uncalled for. I've made so many sacrifices for opposing Zionism. I just got over it, you know, from the beginning. And if he wants to apologize for mislabeling me that, well, he can do that. But until that point, he's blocked. That's just how it goes. You know, why does he want to see my content if he thinks I'm a Zionist shill? Bob Sacamano says, you ever seen that GIF of Mario rapping? If not, I encourage you to Google Mario rapping GIF to see that GIF of Mario rapping that I mentioned earlier. Thanks for that. Yeah, I will look that up. I am interested. Samir says, now each time I hear Follow God, it reminds me of the live stream of the night Charlie was BTFO, historic times. Yeah, I was hoping that it would be sort of like a legendary, the battle hymn of the Groiper. Follow God, very fitting too. Blizzy says, do you think America would be better or worse had the Confederacy won the Civil War? Definitely worse, because I'm a proud Yankee. Busy says, heard you call Patrick Little a fed. Is Owen also a fed? I don't think Owen's a fed. I just think he's a bad, disingenuous actor. I think he's just a bad, twisted person. By the way, they both have mental problems. And that's, I don't even say that as a slight. I mean, I say that as a fact. I know the former has struggled with that. You know, no shade if you have mental issues. It's like Kanye says, yeah, that's a mental problem. We don't mean that in a pejorative way, but it's true. And definitely the truth is with Owen as well. Definitely Owen is suffering from some kind of debilitating psychological or mental problem. But I wouldn't say he's a federal agent. Joshua says, how do you know Dan Crenshaw isn't an Israeli? Because he would need both eyes. What, because there's two eyes in Israeli? I don't know if that works. It's kind of a dad joke. I don't even know if the premise is really sound as a joke. Wagey says, hey, Lil Ben, if I may call you that. I see your height as reported by Google as 5'7", but when compared to Jordan Peterson, man of 6'2", there seems to be about a foot difference between you. Thoughts? That might be funny, honestly. To be honest, questions like that might honestly just be funny at this point. If we were to just bust his balls a little bit. I don't know. I haven't talked to the other guys, the other generals about this, the other, some of the advisors for this conflict about, you know, feedback, what they think. But I think something like that would be very memeable, very viral. And I think it might get people on our side in some ways. But I'd be cautious. Don't make it too ridiculous or goofy. I want people to ask substantive questions. But if there's one or two troll questions, I think that would be funny as well. Randy says, you got a shout out in PJW's video today. Who's got the clip? Keep it up, big guy. Thanks. Scape posting says, good evening, everybody. Good evening. And he's laughing throughout this. My name is ha ha ha. Yeah, we should do the Arthur Fleck move. Gold Willie says, remember when you looked up Danny Phantom? LOL. Yeah, I remember when I looked that up. Yeah, well, I didn't look that up. Somebody said, oh, you should look up this name, and I did, and it happened to be that. So it's not exactly what you're saying. Twilight says, is limited legal migration from Christian Eastern Europe nations allowed? I'm aware that you don't care much for the opinions of women, but, it's always the but, it's always, I know you say this about women, but I just want to say, I love your show and I support you. Well, you know, in that case, your opinion is valid. In that case, the butt is justified. Yeah, that is a legitimate opinion for a female to have, but thanks. Yeah, like I said, I'm in favor of an immigration program. Immigration means if it's net zero, you know, if we're bringing in as many people as are leaving, you know, maybe that would be acceptable. If we're bringing in people that have a chance at assimilating, which would be Europeans, then yes. So yeah, I would be open to that. I think that might be a good idea. HD says, Nick, help, okay? Kav says, hey, King, went to Kanye West's Sunday service experience last Sunday in Inglewood. Definitely worth it if he comes near you. Also, great show. Thanks, y'all. Yeah, I'll get a ticket if he comes by. Wolfgang with a big super chat. Thank you so much. He says, I was reading my Bible and came upon a pretty inspired question for Charlie Kirk in Job. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul? Yeah, I don't know. That might be a little heavy-handed. It might work if it's between other questions, but generally, like I said, things like this are not, I don't think they're really going to work very well. I mean, what kind of question is that? It's got to be, again, specific frame. You got to ask yourself, why am I asking Charlie Kirk this question? I don't know. Maybe that one would go well, but I think we should really stick to the issues. But thanks. It is applicable to him, but I don't know if it'd be a great question during the Q&A. Wagey says, was raised Catholic but fell out of it. You know what, actually, the Bible quote might be good. Because what he's doing is wrong. And so if somebody just came up and, you know, called him out with a biblical quote and said, you know, you're a hypocrite, that might be something worth asking. Just to see how it went. Wagey says, was raised Catholic but fell out of it. Even still, it really bothers me to hear degenerates talk about indulgences and not needing God for morals. What can I even say to them? It bothers me more each time. Well, that's just it. If you're bothered by the absence of Christ, of Christianity and the church, Maybe you should start looking at what the church has to offer, you know? A lot of people know that things are evil and bad, but they never want to turn and say, well, what is the rejection of that? What is a world order where we don't have to have that? Temps says, more like Yiddish America's foundation. Yeah, good point. Gold Willie says, Captain Kirk, the Klingons sunk the USS Enterprise. Okay, Boomer. Yeah, great super chat. Carter says, you're the engine that keeps the nationalist train moving, King. Turning Point is tied to the tracks, and it's not slowing down. Yeah, Charlie Kirk has got his head on the tracks, and he's saying, you're waiting for a train. You don't know where it's going, but we'll be together. And he's talking to, I don't know, Dan Crenshaw or something. It's a little Inception reference. But yeah, Knicker Nation, the Knicker train, what do we want to call it? The America First train. It's not the Trump train anymore. Not as much as it used to be. But yeah, he's tied to the tracks. It's like you do in Red Dead Redemption, you know? Macaroni says, thanks for all you do, Nick. Makes life more fun. Well, thanks. Gold Willie says, all jokes aside, love you, big guy. Love your show. Thanks. Nelson says, wish my, what is this? Something stickers got covered. Good luck tonight, Groypers. Oh, it's okay to be white? Yeah, it's almost like I called it, that it has been done before and it's not going to have the same impact. Does anybody hear any big stories about that poster campaign? And I don't mean to say that to be nasty, but it's kind of a vindication of what I said. Bing Binger says, Nick, how can you be a proud Catholic when the Pope is out there kissing the feet of Muslim men? Okay, I'm not going to read this. Anti-Catholic slur. Look, if you don't believe in the church, if you don't believe in Christ, and here's the thing, everybody wants to make it about everything except for what it's actually about, which is, do you believe that Christ was crucified, died, buried, rose again? Do you believe that Peter started the church? That's what matters. You know, people want to make it about politics. They say, oh, the Pope, I don't like the Pope. I don't like his politics. Well, if you think that invalidates Catholicism, I mean, you're a very stupid person, you know, obviously. Because if you believe that Christ was resurrected, if you believe that Christ was the Son of God, well, then the Bible is true. If the Bible is true, if you're reading it properly, then Peter is the vicar of Christ on earth. If he is the representative of Christ on earth, then all of his successors are the leader of the church. And so I don't like it. I don't like it as much as you do. But I'm also not a retard brain that says, thing I don't like, bad, I will not engage, you know? So I don't love that. I hate that that's going on. But, you know, I think it just shows that you're a dumb person and you're going to hell for saying that. Enforcer says, 1 Corinthians 12:3. Ah, thank you. Big Olive says, hey, Charlie Kirk, is it just a coincidence that your name rhymes with jerk? Yeah, that'll get him. Fat Lips has just wanted to say thanks for the retweet of my Soprano Groyper meme. Really gave my day a big boost. Keep on keeping on. Show's better than ever. Well, thanks. It was a great meme. I sent that to some of my friends. So sure, no problem. God Emperor Oni-chan says, Ben Shapiro, first boss of the Groyper conflict. Tonight we test our mettle, boys. But for real, though, great show. Never been better over the past few weeks. Keep fighting the good fight and stay strong. Well, thanks, buddy. That's true. He's one of our first bosses. It's like he's the first Pokemon trainer. It's the first Pokemon gym, and we got to defeat one of the trainers. And, you know, who's going to be the next trainer? I guess Crenshaw tomorrow, and then Kirk and Don Jr. on Sunday. We got to go into all the gyms, folks. But this is our first major battle. You got to get your friend. Got to get your friend who's already leveled up to 60 to give you his, you know, level 70 Turtwig or whatever, so you can cheat and win. That's how you got to do it. Or who is the main one in Pokemon Platinum? It started with a G. Who's on the cover art? Is it Giratina? Is that it? Yeah, you got to get your friend. That's what I did. My friend, I don't want to say his name, but we would play on DS, and he gave me his, what is that, Giratina? Is that the guy on the cover art? Yeah, he gave me his, like, level 60, whatever the Pokemon is on the cover, and I just beat all the trainers. Otherwise, I couldn't do it. You know, I'd be in the grass for, like, an hour beating, like, you know, level 2, level 3 Pokemon. Anyway, good analogy by me, thanks. Joe the Boomer says, hey, Nick, look over there. Joe the Boomer, yeah. Don't really want to remember. Kind of getting some PTSD flashbacks from the jacuzzi mode with the jacuzzi Groyper hangout at the wedding a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, that was some good times. Andrew says, someone on Instagram I know insists that since you happen to be friends with a few Zionists, that means you will start shilling for civic nationalism in Israel. Some guilt by association craziness. Yeah, I see a lot of that. This happens to everybody, frankly. You get to a certain point and everybody attacks you, people that should be supporting you, people that oppose you legitimately. But it's funny because it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm friendly with Jacob Wall. I don't agree with everything he does. Obviously, I don't agree with everything he says, but the few times that I've met him, it's been debating about Zionism. I had him on my show, and what did we talk about? I said, oh, Israel stole our nukes. Israel did this. Israel blew up our facilities in Cairo, whatever. It's like, how would that make any sense? I'm shilling for Zionism by arguing with Zionists about Zionism. Yeah, I'm shilling for Zionism when I do shows that get put in content restriction mode because I talk about foreign aid and I talk about, you know, some of these false flags that have gone on. I mean, give me a break. It's just very stupid. Jude says, Kurt justified the annexation of the Golan Heights by saying there were synagogues there. Should I ask him if he also supports that Olone tribe taking over the Santa Cruz Mountains? Yeah, that's a great question. Somebody asked him about this a long time ago, and he kind of just like, the questioner wasn't very good, and so he allowed Charlie Kirk to just kind of like steamroll him. But somebody needs to ask him if Israel can expand over, well, I don't know, this might be a bit of a distraction from the focus, which is America First, but it's worth asking. You know, if Israel can expand into Palestine and expand into the Golan Heights because there were synagogues and it's ancient Jewish territory, then Native Americans should be able to take over the United States, right, and kill Americans and all that. I think that's a pretty big logical hole, but again, it's not really focused on the main message. Carter says, haircut making you look like a young Pat Buchanan, lad. Well, thank you. That's very high praise. I wish to be. Now, that guy is truly a hero. Twilight says, if you were to become the head of the political table, would you allow dissenters a seat at the table, or do we become the thing we are fighting against? Russian-American e-girl, love, Nick. So I don't know if you're saying Russian-American e-girl, love. Does that mean you are a Russian e-girl that loves me? If so, thanks. Yeah, no, if we became, well, I'll say this, we support free speech. If we were in their position, we would let them speak. And that's just sort of how it has to be for now. Steven says, Dan Crenshaw, more like Dan Crenshaw. Yeah, totally cringe. Colton says, greetings from South Alabama. My soon-to-be wife and I watch together almost every night. The show has brought us closer together. Marriage is soon and we'll start cranking out young groypers. God bless. Well, thanks so much. That's very wholesome. What a wholesome story. I get slandered all the time. You should hear some of the disgusting things people that I know say about me and about my viewers. And every time that I actually talk to them or meet them, they're normal, they're married, they've got families, they're good looking, they're Chad, whatever. But you should see the way some of these creeps in the Beltway talk about my fans. I had to block somebody recently because I was shown a conversation where they said, oh, all Knicks fans are incels and they're gross, they're fringe, whatever. And it's like, you know, you're not so hot yourself. You're a pretty stinky loser yourself. So anyway, I don't want to make it negative, but I hear that all the time, and I see all these super chats, and the America First viewers are the most wholesome people around. They're the best looking. You've seen that from these questions. They're the sharpest college kids. There are people that are raising big families, traditional marriages. So that's great to hear from you, and I'm glad you guys like the show. I'm glad it helps your marriage or your soon-to-be marriage. I wish you luck with that. And hopefully it lasts a long time, right? Hopefully it all works out for you guys. The happy America First couple. Many such cases, right? Abel says, do an interview with Adam Green. No. Glob says, on March 30th, 2002, the IDF took over the Palestinian town of Ramallah, including its television stations, which they used to show hardcore porn to Palestinians. How can one be anti-porn but support an org that does this? I don't know if that really makes sense, because porn is a weapon against the enemy, right? So it's not like, well, I was going to say the Israelis don't push porn on us. Well, it's not technically the Israelis, but certainly it's fellow travelers, to say the least, right? It's Jewish people that are making all the pornography. But I don't know. To me, that seems like it's a little bit complicated for what we're trying to do here. It's a connection that's worth exploring. And I know you've gotten this from, I'm sure, Libido Dominandi. You know, I've heard this about a thousand million times before. But it should be an anti-porn movement. But I think for now, the IDF in 17 years ago, used it as a tactic against Palestinians. You're against porn. How can you support Israel? I mean, to me, that is something that is not entry level enough for normal people to hear that and for it to resonate with them. But I mean, maybe it's worth asking that they did it to the Palestinians at all. You know, maybe that's the question. Jake says, what graphics card do you have? I was planning on buying the latest NVIDIA, but it's really expensive and not worth it for the latest games, and I don't believe in the Holocaust. I have a, a GTX 1070. I think it's a NVIDIA graphics card, but I'm not really the guy to ask. I'm not really a computer guy. But I've got, I think it is the, no, it's the GeForce, GTX 1070. Is that NVIDIA? I have like NVIDIA drivers for it, so that would make sense. I don't know, bro. I'm not a computer guy. You're asking the wrong person. Ask a computer first. Ask the host of Computers First for your graphics card question. I'm not the guy to ask. Yoker says, big guy, please rank from least to most gay. Shapiro, Crenshaw, Charlie, Avalon, Knowles, Walsh, Crowder, Clavin, and a literal homosexual. That's such a stupid exercise. For $5, I got to do some stupid thing.
Shapiro's out and he's talking about you.
Oh, I hear that Ben Shapiro's talking about me in his Q&A. My producer's popped into the studio and apparently saying words about me.
During his speech.
Okay, we've got another message from the producer that's happening during the speech. So I did get the first time. We'll have no further interruptions, please, from the producer. But the producer says, okay. The producer, of course, Bryce, the Zoomer. The Zoomer Catboy producer. So I guess he named me in the speech, but the Q&A is not ready yet. That's okay. We'll have to break for the stream maybe in 10 or 15 minutes. I'll maybe move over at 9:35. I'm chomping at the bit to get over there, but I want to get through some more super chats. Siskaz says, Nick, have you attended the traditional Latin Mass? If not, look into FSSP or SSPX services. This is the Mass of the Ages and avoids many of the questionable changes post-Vatican II. Yeah, every time I talk to a traditional Catholic, it's, have you been to a Latin Mass? I have now. I used to have to say, no, I've never been. Oh, you gotta go. I'll help find one for you. It's like, yeah, but the one by my house is 5 minutes away. The Novus Ordo. But yeah, I've been to a traditional Latin Mass. It's great. It's really nice. But you know what? You get the Eucharist. It maybe is a treat once in a while you go to the Latin Mass, but to me it's like 5 minutes away, you get the Eucharist, you get the gist, right? And anyway, it's from the church. You know, you might not like Vatican II, but it's in communion with Rome, and that's what matters. Last name says, hi, King, you're the best. Ready up for Boss Shapiro. Yeah, we got to ready up. John B. says, we need a Big Mac for every groiper. Charlie Kirk says, here, he's an Afro-Latino. That's amazing. Yeah, that's JLP, pretty good. Jake says, Nick, do you watch anime? I find it a great alternative to Hollywood and mainstream Western media because there's no political agenda. No, I don't watch anime. I don't watch anything. I don't watch television. Saul says, evening. Don't know if this has been mentioned yet as I'm still catching up on the Culture War America First streams, but Brian from High Impact Vlogs said he'd be down for a debate. I don't really know who that is, but if he sends me an email, I'll check him out. Charlie says, met a based eagle. I love all these people that like, oh, somebody wants to debate you. It's like, oh, now that I have all this clout, suddenly people want to debate. I wonder why. Yeah, I don't really know who that is, but if he can send me an email, I'll check it out. Charlie says, met a based e-girl named Monica. She Monica. That's pretty good. Costa Rica says, yo, big shout out to my groiper girl, Norma. I don't know if this is a euphemism, so I'll just say Norma, but thanks. Thomas says, wore a shirt that says gay and conservative to blend in. Then when you get in front of the mic, pull the shirt off to reveal a Joker shirt. That's a little bit complicated, but it sounds fun. I mean, that sounds like it could work. Big Rick Savage says, if the cops try to make you leave, just pull an Ethan Ralph. I don't know what that means. What happened with Ethan Ralph? Didn't he get arrested for something? I guess that's what it's referring to. Robert says, there will be so many white pills, we're going to be tired of white pills. Chins up, King. Bobby says, groiper's being moved to the back of the line is blatant racism and groiper phobia. Yeah, big agree. David Ward with a big super chat says, if someone can go to the next Charlie Kirk style event and make a pro-white statement, like ask them if they agree. Okay, no, I definitely do not do that. This super chat is terrible. Thanks for the money, but wrong. He's talking about the... No, definitely do not do that. You're gone. Sorry, we have no room for cringe. There's no room to make any mistakes. Definitely not like that. What a dummy. Yeah, let's make them, let's play right into their hands, let's just feed them ammunition, let's just show up in Stahlhelms, let's just show up and start throwing up Romans, right, while we're at it, let's just show up in clan robes while we're at it, this dummy. Eric's as wise on Benjamin, spiraling and putting you down, I don't know, he's got deep-seated problems. Charles Freedoms as Charlie Kirk is to conservatives as Proviso West is to the West Suburban Silver Conference. Out of place. I'm not really a sports guy, but I kind of can pick up what you're getting at there. It's true. Let's see. Plugged In says, good question that we can ask Shapiro is about the Covington kids. Simply ask why he immediately lambasted the kids on Twitter before getting more info. Yeah, I think that's a great question. Let me just double check and see. I want to get the Charlie Kirk stream in front of me so that I can kind of gauge like where the Q&A is at. Let's see if I can find a stream here. And we'll see. I might just jump over to the Daily Wire, to DLive right now. And I'll see. The Daily Groiper with a live update says, Ben Shapiro currently attacking America First Nationalists and taking cheap shots at Nick Fuentes. His entire speech is aimed at slandering us. Well, we've got to move over. I will. I know I've said this a lot, but I'll take these super chats later. I think you would all agree we would be better off if we watched the Ben Shapiro stream, right? So I'm going to find a stream before I jump over. But I think that's how we're going to do it. We'll have to cut our show early. There's our stream. There's our live stream. We've got it. Oh, looks like people are being escorted out. Yeah, so we've got to go. We've got to go. So that's our show. Subscribe to the channel. Leave a comment. Notification button. Drop a like. We're on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. This is America First. Thanks for watching. We'll answer your Super Chats later. Thanks to the Super Chatters, everyone who watches. We'll see you in a moment on DLive. It's DLive.tv/NickJFuentes. DLive.tv/NickJFuentes. I'm going over there right now, and I'll be posting the link on Telegram, Twitter, and in the live chat. But we have to move very quickly if we can catch them. So we will see you in a bit on DLive.